Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And Mama said knock you out.
Don't call it a comeback, Hammond.
I've been here for years.
Yeah. Boy, that should be a big clue as to who we're talking about today.
Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah, right, exactly. John Denver today on the show.
No, Five Finger Death Punch actually did a really good cover of that song with Tech N9ne.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Mama Said Knock You Out?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll have to look at that. No, we're talking about James Todd Smith, a.k.a. Ladies Love Cool James, a.k.a. LL Cool J. That's right. We're fulfilling our rap duty for the season.
Don't make it sound like an obligation. I actually enjoy some of this.
I do too.
Some of the rap choices we make, I haven't enjoyed as much as others. But we both came out of Sir Mix-a-Lot having a good time.
We totally did, and I will say that I actually had a good time with a lot of this, not all of it, but a lot of this.
Don't spill your popcorn in the lobby.
That's right. All right, well, let's talk about it. James Todd Smith was born in Queens, New York, better known as LL Cool J for Ladies Love Cool James. He's both known as a rapper and an actor.
So we're mostly going to completely focus on his rap career, his music career. But, I mean, at some point, his acting will come up and we'll discuss it for a little bit.
For sure. He was one of the early hip-hop stars to achieve mainstream status.
Yeah, it was him and Curtis Blow and Run DMC that kind of were the leaders of the forefront of Def Jam Records and of the East Coast hip-hop community.
For sure. Would you throw Grandmaster Flash in there?
He was definitely in there, but he didn't reach the mainstream success that these guys did.
Yeah, that's true.
These guys charted, like Billboard charted.
That's right, yeah. LL Cool J. Should we call him LL for short or should we call him James? I'm going to call him LL. LL started rapping at 9. By 16, he was making demo tapes, and his grandfather bought him 2 turntables and a mixer, as well as an amp. You thought I was going to say microphone. His mother bought him a drum machine. In 1984, he recorded a 12-inch single for Def Jam called I Need a Beat. And his first concert was in his high school lunchroom.
That first single, even though his first performance might have been in a high school lunchroom, that first single sold over 100,000 copies and helped establish him as a recording artist and Def Jam as a credible label.
Absolutely amazing. In 1985, he released his first album, which was called Radio. The album was well-reviewed, both for the production quality and for the power and style of the rap it contained. It peaked at number 46 on the album charts.
And in 1989, it was certified platinum. And I have to say, I love this album. And it's going to come up again later. Yeah. I'm not going to hold back. This is an album that I love.
Yeah, I really, really like the early stuff. Had so much fun listening to the early stuff. Radio, title track, as well as Rock the Bells were 2 singles to help propel the album. And early on, he toured with Run DMC and Curtis Blow. Makes sense. In 1987, he released Bigger and Deffer, B-A-D, bad on the cover, sold on the excess of 2 million copies in just the U.S. alone.
Okay, I think this is an appropriate place to have this conversation.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off him. All right. Yes.
I'm going to say this now. When he comes out hard and swinging and aggressive, that's the LL I like.
Yeah.
Yep. The attitude, the swagger. I got to tell you, his slow jams are... really not comfortable to listen to.
They really aren't. I don't know if it's because we're dudes, but especially you get into the later albums and every album contains at least 2 or 3 songs that tell you, if you're a lady, the things he's going to do to you in pretty explicit detail. step-by-step process that you can easily follow at home.
Put your left arm in. Put your left arm.
Exactly. I mean, it is the hokey pokey of banging is what he's basically describing.
Oh, there's a t-shirt for soundography.
Anyway, so there you go.
We've said it. We've said it. The slow jams are not our jam. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. My quote in the show notes is, these love ballads are cheesier than Noodles' signature Wisconsin mac and cheese. Or Noodles and Company, I guess, if you've got that. The album featured the Bigger Endeavor featured I'm Bad and I Need Love, which was his first number one hit.
And one of it's the reason the conversation was sparked.
It is. And it's certainly the first of those.
And it set the template for rappers across a generation of slow jamminess. Look what you've done to her. I can feel it inside. I can't explain how it feels. All I know is that I'm never dishing of the raw deal, playing make believe, pretending that I'm true, holding in my laugh as I say that I love you, saying I'm more, kissing you on the ear, whispering I love you and I'll always be here. Although I often reminisce, I can't believe that I found it. Did.
And I would agree that this one, that I Need Love, is less a Here are the things I'm going to do to you, and more of like, here's my wish list for the perfect girlfriend and how I'm going to treat her and how I'm going to love her right and stuff. And it, I'm sure it worked.
I like the fact that you put it, it's a wish list instead of a paint by numbers.
It is. It's a wish list. It's like, I need a woman who can drive a car, and I need a woman who won't go too far, and I need a woman who's likes putt-putt golf, and I need a woman who's... You know what? I'm going to write my own version of this song, I think. The album also featured Bristol Hotel and Go Cut Creator Go. His follow-up, Walking with a Panther, came out in 1989, proved to be another big success for him. Singles were Going Back to Cali, of course, I'm That Type of Guy, Jingling Baby, and Big Old Butt. Community did criticize it for being too commercial and focused too much on ballads.
Huh. I wonder who said that earlier.
How about that? That Going Back to Cali, huge hit that was also included on the soundtrack to Less Than Zero.
Yeah, well, I don't think so.
Well done, sir. In 1990, he released Mama Said Knock You Out. This was a certified double platinum album, and he proved that he could still be hard-hitting and current. This gained him solid footing as an icon of hip hop.
So, and it was around here when his acting career really took off. So I'm going to ask now, Brian, what is your favorite LL role in film or TV?
For me, it's film, and it's Toys.
Is that the Robin Williams film?
That's the Robin Williams
film. I hated that movie.
Yeah, that's a very divisive movie. And I don't fault anyone for disliking it or loving it. You know, it's basically, it is so weird and quirky. And
well, I blame marketing for some of it because I think they advertised it like it was supposed to be a comedy and it wasn't.
There were comedy elements. But yeah, you know, the overall movie is basically Robin Williams' toy factory gets taken over by a guy who wants to make weaponry for the military. And of course, he doesn't want that, but it happens so slowly that he almost doesn't even notice. But there are comedic elements in there, but you've also got some music by Thomas Dolby. You've got music by...
This is why you like it, the soundtrack. You don't like the movie.
No, I like the movie too.
Come on, I'm trying to help you out. You don't like this movie.
I do like this movie.
This is in that period of time when Robin Williams was making this and What Dreams May Come. And it was just like sad movie after sad movie from Robin Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he, you know, he was, as we found out, he was a crying on the inside kind of clown.
Yes, he was.
Yes. How about what's your LL?
My favorite one is from the Colin Farrell vehicle with Nick Fury. I guess it had Daredevil, and I guess it had Bullseye and Nick Fury in it. And it was the film adaptation of SWAT that came out in the early 2000s. Oh, it also had Hawkeye in it as the bad guy.
Oh, did Renner was in
there? Yeah. And it's a fun movie. It's not smart. It hasn't aged well with the whole police brutality stuff, but it's still a really, really fun movie. And it also has good music in it.
It does have a good soundtrack. I think, who did the remake of the theme song? There was a remake of the SWAT TV show theme song.
I don't know that off the top of my head.
That's all right. It's not crucial.
Okay. But it's a fun movie. And like I said, some of it hasn't aged as well as other parts, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's been since it first came out is when I saw it, or at least when it first came out on streaming or rental or something. But maybe I need to give it another watch.
You guys should film track that business.
I'm really amazed we haven't, because it feels like something we'd film sack. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what other, I know we said we wouldn't talk too much about his movie roles, but I'm trying to think of other LL Cool J.
There was a movie he did with, it had Val Kilmer called Mindhunter. Mindhunter, something like that.
Mindhunter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And LL's in that. He did a good job. He's been in that...
Deep Blue Sea was a classic.
He also has been on... NCIS California or NCS, whatever it's called. he's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
So he's had a, you know, interesting acting career, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah. No, and he does well with the material that he's given.
Uh-huh.
You know, if people not liking the movie Toys wasn't because of LL Cool J.
No, it was not. It was because it was misadvertised, and it was a freaking weird movie.
Exactly. But you know what? I will absolutely agree, and I think that's why I liked it. totally the case. He followed up Mama Said Knock You Out with 1993's 14 Shots to the Dome. Now it's funny that he released 14 Shots to the Dome, because almost all of his other albums either reference the album number it is, or he sings at the very beginning. And so he probably regrets doing 14 Shots to the Dome so early. He probably should have made it his album after Exit 13.
Yes.
Four singles on this one: I'm Coming, Backseat of My Jeep, Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag Getting Crushed by Buildings. Voice was real audible. I said, you're cool as Ice Cuba. She said, you're the public enemy I seen on the tuba. Nah, I'm like your uncle, baby. The style of your beautiful. Drives me crazy. What can we do? You're so heavy, I'm deep. She said you tried to play me like Big Daddy. I said, I know you tried. I called and requested for you to be manifested. She said, you don't know that wasn't a Radiohead song. And Stand By Your Man. This album was certified gold.
Now, I can't remember. Was that a cover of the Tammy Wynette song?
No, I don't think it was. it didn't catch my ear if it was. It would be great if it was, though. This album was certified gold. In 1995, he released Mr. Smith, sold 2 million copies. The singles were Doing It Well, Hey Lover, which featured Boyz II Men, and I Shot Ya, a remix of that song.
Oh, Boyz II Men, they were a ubiquitous backup group for lots and lots of rappers around this time.
They were, yeah. Yeah, this was about the turning point for me of like, all right, this is starting to sound a little same-o. Unfortunately, it was you know, I wasn't connecting as well with the mid-90s stuff. But it did well commercially, so good on him. In 1996, he released All World, which is his greatest hits album. The loose cover of Ain't Nobody was featured on the Beavis and Butthead Do America soundtrack. Animal attraction burning through the crowd. Heaven on earth, paradise for a price. It's cool, though. I pay it for the rest of my life. You know why? It was, trying to think who did that originally. Aaliyah? right? Ain't Nobody? Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
What am I thinking? Yeah. Of course, it's Chaka Khan, everybody. Chaka Khan. 1997 release Phenomenon.
Which I misspelled horribly in the notes.
Phenomenon. featured the title track as well as Father. The other single from the album was 4321, and it featured Method Man, Red Man, and Master P. It also introduced the world to DMX.
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Blaze the hot.
Trizak, it sound like Kevin. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, Metcalf, come and get some.
Play my position.
You know, he's going to make me lose my mind up into here. 2000, he released Goat, Greatest of All Time. This debuted at number one on the charts.
And it was all Tom Brady theme songs.
All Tom Brady and Navy mascot theme songs. 2002, he released 10. Guess what number album this was, Hammond?
12.
Oh, so close. You know, the first 5 minutes of the album is an interview that he recorded and put on the album as the first track, talking about it being his 10th album.
Just in case anyone missed the hint.
Exactly, yes. Singles were Paradise and Love You Better. This was produced by Pharrell and the Neptunes.
We went through this before, acting like the L's can't bag them no more. Nightgown dragging on the heated marble floor. Flash Cartier when you open up the door. Slide these on, baby. So butter still relate to the gun.
And in 2003, a duet with Jennifer Lopez called All I Have was released.
And
that's actually pretty good.
And that's going to come back up later in the show too. Not that song, sure, but that pairing.
Interesting. 2004, he released The Definition, capital Def, debuted at number four on the charts. Timberland and R. Kelly were in the production for this album. Headsprung was the lead single, and it peaked at number 16. Seven Aurelius also produced on the album, and his Hush peaked at number 26 when it was released. 2006, he released Todd Smith. The lead single, produced by Jermaine Dupri, was called Control Myself and also featured Jennifer Lopez.
I didn't want to go out on the floor, but this girl was so determined. My brain began to sizzle. I'm sweating just a little. On the dance floor in the middle, she turned around and giggled. She said,
Jenny from the Block.
Yep.
A video for Freeze was also released to help promote this album. In 2008, he released Exit 13. This was his last album with Def Jam, and it was delayed 2 years. This started to come back to me, right? Like, this is when I was having a little bit more fun listening to it again. And I think it was that he was taking himself less seriously for the most part. He still got the slow jams, the how-to manual for doing it and doing it and doing it. But the faster stuff was a little bit less taking himself so seriously. Although I will say this, it feels like he's a dude who's looking for a feud.
Yeah.
And I think he calls out Will Smith at times. He calls out, who else does he call out? It feels like he calls out a few popular rappers at the time. And Will Smith is probably closest to his style,
But I'm going to say he's not going to respond because Will Smith is too busy counting the stacks and stacks of money in his pool.
That's right, yes. That sounds like it. That sounds like it's a lyric from an LL Cool J song.
he Scrooge McDucks into his pool full of money.
I'm sure he does, yeah. 2008, he released Exit 13. This was his last album with Def Jam, and it was delayed by 2 years. In 2009, he released a single about his TV show, NCIS. It was a single available on iTunes, and he said he wrote it after meeting real agents, SEALs, and Marines. Break as hard as exoskeleton, titanium plates. I want it when I want it, why would I want to wait? I push the envelope, there's no sealing my fate. Dreams don't have deadlines, it's never too late. Even a broken clock's right twice a day, I'm straight. Teamwork makes the dream work while you're awake. I stay under the radar on my way out of space. When you stand firm, be sure you feel it. In 2009, he released a follow-up to his first Greatest Hits album. This one was called All World 2. And in 2012, he released Super Baller. Make sure you bet on that Mega Millions jackpot to celebrate the Giants' win of the Super Bowl that year. Get it, Super Baller?
I did get it.
In 2013, he released Authentic. Ratchet, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say. You know, you were talking about how he doesn't take himself as seriously. At least it seems like he's not now.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it's because he's approaching. I mean, what is he? Maybe 55 at this point, 50, 55. Yeah. I'm sure at this point he's looking back over his career and he doesn't feel the need to be as serious about himself because, I mean, he's LL Cool J.
Established himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm wondering if when he's calling out people like Will Smith, it's more like, hey, he's never going to respond.
right, probably.
He's not going to call out Lil Wayne because he will respond.
Right.
With the presidential pardon in his hand now.
And Lil Wayne has, I think, a new generation of fans that I think, you know, LL Cool J probably skews a little bit older.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yep.
In 2013, he released Authentic. Ratchet and Take It were released as singles.
It would have been funny if it had been Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, I think it would be a great second single, Clank. Ratchet and Clank. LL Cool J has hosted the Grammys for 5 years from 2012 to 2016, and he got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014. Late 2014, he announced his new album will be called GOAT 2, G-O-A-2, the greatest of the second greatest of all time. With a release in 2015, he said, the concept behind the album was to give upcoming artists an opportunity to shine and put myself in the position where I have to spit bars with some of the hardest rhymers in the game. That album was put on hold, he quoted saying, it was good, but I didn't feel like it was ready yet. Good for him.
Yep.
In 2019, he released Phenomenon, the Sam Wilkes remix. This was released as a single along with remixes of other hits throughout 2020. Hammond, tell me some statistics and general notes about LL.
All right. So he's a 2-time Grammy winner. VH1 listed him in the top 100 greatest artists of all time. In 2017, he was the first rapper to receive the Kennedy Center's honor. Oh, and wow. Radio has sold 500,000 copies in the first 5 months it was out. And I was one of them.
Really? Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's such a good album, that first one. Really is. All right, so let's say you go see LL Cool J in concert. What is he guaranteed to perform? What is this Stairway to Heaven song? Hammond, what are our choices?
All right. Mama Said Knock You Out, Rock the Bells, Solid. Going Back to Cali, and my pick for it is Radio.
And No I Need Love up there?
I don't think so. I don't think that's an encore song. That's more of a, that's more of a intermission song. You know, like one he sings before he takes a break.
That's while the DJ steps out. And he just takes the mic and performs that one.
Yeah.
We named it Mama Said Knock You Out is number one. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. Put suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Explosion. Overpowering. Over the competition. I'm towering. Wreck his shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you rock the bells. I'm Bad. Actually, wow, scrolling down here. Rock the Bells, I'm Bad, Doing It, I Need Love, Going Back to Cali, Jack the Ripper, I Can't Live Without My Radio. There you go. Number 8 was the, was it? Let's see. He does Big Papa as a cover. Notorious B.I.G.'s Love You When You Call Me Big Papa. Probably as a tribute. And La-Di-Da-Di, which is a Dougie Fresh cover.
I love La-Di-Da-Di.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe next season we need to just do Dougie Fresh because he also did that Inspector Gadget thing with
I'd
the greatest
totally show. Doing Dougie Fresh. Yeah, for the show.
Okay.
For sure. He's also covered It's Tricky by Run DMC. And then he's also performed it with Run DMC. Let's see, Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, he's gone all around with covers. Brick House by Commodores, another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. I love it.
Yeah, pretty versatile set batch of covers.
For sure, yeah. Speaking of covers, what cover did I not say on that list that we would absolutely like to hear him perform? I'll start. And it's funny because you're hearing this before I talked about my playlist. So it's kind of going to reveal one of the songs of my playlist. But as I was listening and getting to the album Exit 13, one of the songs I really enjoyed was American Girl. But before I started listening to it, I saw it and I thought, oh my God, is this going to be a cover of the Tom Petty song? How awesome. Turned out not to be, but it made me wish it was. And the more I thought about him performing that, the more intriguing I thought it would be. So he could either do his singing voice, but doing it at a faster tempo, mm-hmm. thank goodness, or he could bring in a singer. And I thought of maybe Harry Styles. So you've got this kind of international twist, Harry Styles singing about an American girl to do the singing parts. And then LL could do a rap interlude.
Very nice. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go fund this.
Okay. I went for a Broadway song. I went for another duet with Jennifer Lopez and mm-hmm. him doing what he does best and have them do One Night in Bangkok from Chess.
Listen, it's got to be better than the Mike Tyson version.
Look, I farted better than the Mike Tyson version.
At least you could pronounce cerebral or cerebral.
Yeah, yes.
At least I can pronounce cerebral. One Night in Bangkok is a great call because you would have, I imagine Lopez doing the singing parts,
yep.
the chorus. Uh-huh.
Yep. And him doing all the stuff about, you know, with their heads down over their pieces, you know, looking for a queen that never excites them and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Let you watch. I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you.
Yeah. Except he wouldn't sound like he was from the 30s.
He wouldn't do the to the 30s. Hey.
He's not
both. You better go back to your bars, your massage parlors.
Okay, I'm adjusted by cover. LL Cool J, Jennifer Lopez, and Postmodern Jukebox. Dude.
Oh, now we're talking.
There we go.
Yes. They need to do that anyway. Just have that. Like a guy singing it like he's over the mono radio. I think that'd be great. All right. When I'm done with my GoFundMe for Tom Petty, I'll do that one. Now it's time for us to get to our playlist. This is where we pick a few songs that would go well with either of his greatest hits albums. And I'm just going to admit right now that one of my choices is on the greatest hits. I didn't realize it was a single, but I had to pick it. Because it had the potential of getting me in trouble last weekend, and it didn't, which I'm fine with. First song comes from Walking with a Panther. It is Big Old Butt. Paid a visit. I was spanking her, thanking her, chewing her and doing her, laughing because my girl didn't know that I was screwing her, laying like a king, my sheets of satin. That's what time it is. You know what's happening. She had a big old booty. I was doing my duty. I mean, yo, I admit that my girl's a cutie. Bettina was exotic. Earl's my witness. With the kind of legs that put stock. Number one, I think it's a really funny song. But number two, it's got my wife's name in it because my wife's name is Tina, and Tina's got a big old butt in the song. And it also mentions Brian in there, but Brian's in the car hanging out. So you know, that part, man, whatever. But, you know, when I walk around the house singing, Tina's got a big old butt. Tina's got a big old butt.
So
there's no help but for it to go well.
When did I Like Big Butts come out? Feels like early 90s, right? So 89, 90, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Feels like there's a lot of butt-themed music going on in those early days of the 90s. The heady days of the 90s was a lot of butt-themed music.
Yeah, I think they were testing the waters. 1992 is when Baby Got Back came out. And I think they were in the early days of like, all right, how much can we get away with? Can we talk about butts? Still have it be a radio single? Oh, no problem? Great. All right, let's...
So we have a song about butts cracking the top 10.
Oh, well done. Well done. Man. Acid you shall receive. The second song is Around the Way Girl. This is from Mama Said Knock You Out. Standing at the bus stop, sucking on a lollipop. Once she gets pumping, it's hard to make the hottie stop. She likes to dance to the rap jam. She's sweet as brown sugar with the candy yams. Honey-coated complexion, using Cabernet. Let's hear it for the girl, she's from around the way.
Around the way, girl.
This has a good balance, just enough R&B and smooth groove to really hook me in. I kind of really dug that. I didn't write down what album this one is from. Milky Cereal, which I laughed at and thought it was the hokiest thing the first time I heard it. And for whatever reason, when it came up again, I really dug it because it's like a whole bunch of puns of different cereals. Like he's talking about Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes. And this is from the Mama Said Knock You Out album as well. That must be why I didn't write it down. Very debonair, driving a Rolls with rollers in a hair. We was hanging out, pumping the stereo. She took me to a club. I think the name was Cheerios. She walked like she was jumping a hurdle. I was happy as a kid that just saw Mutant Ninja Turtles. A guy walked over, said your earring's cute. I said I'm wearing an earring, but it ain't no Fruit Loop. Me and Frosted went to get a drink, but she ordered something bugged and I ain't know what to think. She ordered potassium. This might be my favorite song in the list because it is so... It's what, you know, it's what we do as dads. We make dad jokes and try and fit in as many puns as we can. We just did it a minute ago with butts.
Yeah. So I have an admission to make because I didn't pick it because it felt like it hit too close to home and my feelings were hurt because of all the dad jokes.
Oh, is that?
I felt self-conscious by it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, when I think dad jokes, I do think Hammond Chamberlain. Last one in my list of four. Yeah, I didn't have a fifth one that really grew on me enough to put on the list, but it is the aforementioned American Girl. Man, American girls are something to see. I bet Thomas Jefferson would love BET. This is a celebration all across the land. Like the fireworks, bring out the marching band. Uncle L, I love the heartland. South Carolina, they're looking so tan. Out in Kansas, they're so outlandish. Up in Nebraska, I know what you're after. Bubble baths and Budweiser, joy and laughter. A good old boy that's not trying to gas you. It number one feels like more of a return to his older style. But again, you've got the lyrics that kind of don't take themselves so seriously. You've got a great backing arrangement. And I really dug it. It's from the Exit 13 album. And it felt like a return to what I liked about early LL Cool J. How about you? What you got?
All right. So my first one, admittedly, unabashedly, it's a hit. I put I Can't Live Without My Radio. I wrote it in the show notes the day we decided on the show order.
Yeah, I know you do this. You do this a lot. That's fine because you write the notes, so you do get first peeing rights.
Yeah. So I bought this album almost day and date, and I have loved the song ever since. And I still know most of it by heart, so I can't not admit to loving the songs and not put it on a list.
Sure.
The next one is "We're the Greatest" from Authentic. This is his entry into the rock rap style of music. It kind of reminded people who he is, but it also has Eddie Van Halen. And it's this weird mix of styles. And it ends up, when you stick it in the shaker and mix it all around, it actually ends up sounding a lot like the Hollywood Undead.
You know what? That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah. I totally hear that now that you say that.
My third one is Baby. This is the rock remix from Exit 13. Get on the bus, girl, we running away, so you can be mine. Let's take a roll in the hay. Let's go out in the yard and play. You won't be mine. All night and day. Let's go, put the books away. You gon' be mine. Nothing left to say. That would only take my buzz away. Hey, she likes hip-hop and rock and roll. Her lifetime goal is a... The reason I picked it was because it's a funky version of the song that has Richie Sambora joining him. And it's filled with, like, pop culture references from Pulp Fiction and calls out to Usher and... It's just kind of a fun song, and I love the addition of the Richie Sambora bits. The next one is Feel the Beat from The Definition.
Def Jam signed me to hit the lottery. It wasn't free, but don't call it a robbery. They underestimated me quite possibly. It's like that when you were Godfather B. I'm the greatest of all time. You heard that before. But now when I say it, it means so much more. Cause it's so true. No hype, man. No crew. No reason for ghostwriters. Every year I get tighter. Mothers and daughters.
This is like a personal history lesson, and it has this old school LL feel, but it has new production and new kind of a new vibe to it. So it's this really cool bridging between who he was and who he is. So I really enjoyed that.
That's cool.
The next one is Ain't No Stopping This from 14 Shots to the Dome. This is the feel of LL Cool J that I love. This is him being aggressive. This is him being kind of like right in your face, aggressively rapping. And I really enjoyed this one.
No, I was going to say, you hit it on the head with the stuff I like. It is the not taking himself too seriously, but faster beat. Mm-hmm. LL. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead and get the last one.
Okay, so I do have a bonus. And it's kind of a dumb reason why I picked it, but I do like the song I'm the Type of Guy. I think it's a funny song. I think there's some really interesting...
Unless you're the guy that he's talking about in the song.
Yeah. I think it's funny, but also it has a musical reference to The Wizard of Oz in it. So I had to pick it.
Tells us stay inside while you're steady fronting in your homeboy's ride. I'm the type of guy that comes when you leave. I'm doing your girlfriend. That's something you can't believe. Cause I'm the type of guy. I'm the type of guy. I'm the type
I didn't catch that.
That's for The Wizard of Oz.
I didn't even think about that. It's absolutely the witch's henchman.
Yep.
Oh my God. How did I not pick that up? Jeez. That's great. That is an awesome list. And I'm glad that your six made up for my four. So we still gave people 10.
Yep. Totally works.
All in all, really, it was kind of a bookend situation. I enjoyed the early stuff. I enjoyed the last stuff. Stuff in the middle was kind of meh, but the stuff at the beginning and end, I really, really dug. So good on you, LL Cool J. And definitely some stuff that I'm keeping in the playlist. Next week, it's time for us to draw some blood. Type O Negative is who we're going to be listening to. I know them from covers only. I don't know what the rest of their stuff sounds like. So this will be great.
Imagine their covers, but more depressing.
Oh God, really? Who put this on the list?
Actually, it's funny. I have a love-hate relationship with Type O Negative because there are Type O Negative songs that I own and love and listen to a lot. And they're Type O Negative songs that I can't stand. And some of their covers are awesome. Like their Summer Breeze cover, I love that.
Oh, it's such a good one. I mean, I'm looking at the list here. I've got, you know, they do Highway Star by Deep Purple, Cinnamon Girl by Neil Young, Day Tripper. it's going to be hard for me. There's my five right there. I'm just gonna pull those.
But they've got some stuff in there, and their story is interesting on top of that too. So
yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it for sure. Excellent. Well, Type O Negative is going to be next week, but in the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out and talk to us. If you like doing it via email, via email, well, then email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also knock us out on Twitter. We are at the Soundography. Visit soundography.com for everything else. You've got every episode we've ever done right there. You can listen to them all. Check out their playlists. Every time there is a playlist, we put them together in Spotify, Hammond does, and we link to it so that you can listen to our playlists along with anything else. You also find a link to buy music. I think we linked to that first album for this one, don't we?
Either that or his greatest hits.
Or one of his greatest hits.
Yeah,
for sure. And you can also support the show on Patreon. We just recorded a new episode of our movie series for Soundography for patrons, where we talk about movies that feature a lot of music, either as a great soundtrack or as a subject matter, if it's documentary. So become a patron and get those, and you'll see what all the hype is about.
Ah, I see
if
what you did there.
Like our show. Yeah, thank you very much. If you like our show, leave us a review somewhere. It lets other people know you like our show. And that's what it does.
Because we learned a lesson on another show about that.
We learned a lesson. Actually, it does. It lets people know who are on the fence about music podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, check one out. If you see a lot of good reviews, you'll check it out.
It serves a purpose. It doesn't serve the purpose that I have thought it has for the last 10 years.
You and me both. So that's it. We're getting out of here. Hammond, anything to close us out?
No, I'm interested to hear if you're going to pick something other than a cover next week.
I will definitely give everything a chance and not just say, I'm just going to do the covers right now and call it a day. So of course I'll listen to everything. I can't wait. Can't wait to hear what I think of Typo Negative. So that's next week. Until then, on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.